We are joined by our race winner, Eric Almirola, driver of the number 10, Smithfield Bacon for Life Ford. We will open it up to questions for Eric. Please raise your hand. We will get a wireless mic to you. Start in the front with Bob.
Bob Pockris, ESPN. When during this race do you realize that the Stewart Haas cars just have something that nobody else has? And are you already waiting? Can't wait for the Daytona 500 next year?
Pretty much. I knew when we qualified that all four of us starting up there in the front. We kind of talked about it in our competition meeting that we needed to be committed to each other. We needed to score as many stage points as we can. We needed to score more stage points in the 12. We needed to score more stage points in the 42 and the 88. We knew all that. And so going into the weekend, that was our focus, was to be committed as an organization to doing everything we can to help each other. And making sure that we continue to get points, especially for Clint and myself being in the situation that we were in going into this weekend. And then when we qualified top four, all of us together, I knew that all four of us were gonna be tough to beat, and we were gonna have really fast race cars. And we've been chasing those Penske cars. We talked about it in here Friday or Saturday. We've been chasing Penske at the restrictor plate races. They've been able to do somewhat of what we did today, where they get out front, and Brad and Joey and Paul and Blaney, get organized and basically dominate the race. And today we were able to do that. We stayed so committed to each other. We worked every restart out to where we stayed committed to each other and got in line. And it was us against the field. And when we started to drive off from the field in that first stage, as the stage went on, I knew we had something special. I knew one of our four cars was going to win. And just by, happenstance that we were the ones that qualified fourth, I kept being the third or fourth guy in line. And it was like, man, this is nice that we're all four running together, but I'm scoring less stage points than Boyer, and I'm racing him in points. And eventually we're gonna have to try and win this race, or we're gonna have to separate and start fending for ourselves. And that opportunity honestly never really presented itself. It seemed like the way the race played out, where there was such long green flag runs, that we would get committed to each other. And then as we would drive away from the field, me being the fourth guy in line, I never really had anybody behind me to help me make a move on my teammates. So it was an incredible day for us as an organization at Stewart Haas Racing. And I am so proud and so thankful for the opportunity to be driving these race cars.
We're going to go to Kaylee, Christian, and Matt.
Kaylee Cicero, the Prowler Stars Mill High School. Yesterday when I talked to you, you described racing here like a high-speed chess match. And in the third stage, you fell behind early, and you had to work your way back up through the field. Can you describe what it was like getting back up to the front like that?
Yeah, well, we're in a position where we came into this weekend needing to score all the stage points we could. So when that caution came out at the end of stage two, We had to stay out. We had to stay out to score points, and that gave a lot of the cars behind us an opportunity to pit and have fresh tires and be full of gas, and to not pit when the stage ended. So when we came off pit road at the end of stage two to begin the final stage, we weren't with our teammates. We had to race a lot of cars in front of us that were, that were on a different strategy than us. And at that point, it just came down to us having an incredible race car. I was able to kind of maneuver my way through the pack and make some moves and get up towards the front. And, I think at that point, I knew we were, as an organization, we were going to be able to get all four of our cars back together. And all four of us ended up back there together just because of how strong our cars were. And we were able to kind of lead the field again and start to separate ourselves. So, yeah, I thought this race, honestly, was a little bit less of a chess match and more of an organizational commitment. And it started probably months ago with, you know, we have a group of guys that this is all they do is work on speedway cars all year long, develop, get better. And like I said, we've been chasing Penske for years now. They have been the dominant team when we show up to restrictor plate tracks. And we've tried a lot of different things with aero stuff and just different things. And we've not been able to hit on how to beat them. And I think this weekend we finally came up with a package and a plan, and we stayed committed to each other, and we were able to outrun them.
You go to Christian in the map.
Christian Coley, frontstretch.com and the Motorsports News Source. Eric, with your win today, you become the 12th driver to win both an Xfinity race and a cup race at the Talladega Super Speedway. Can you comment on how you kind of use some of the things you got out of those victories in the Xfinity to wind up in victory lane today?
You know, I don't know. I came here in a truck race with Billy Ballou, and I had Kyle Busch as a teammate, and I raced here. I had no job that year and was out of a ride, and Billy let me run a handful of races that year. And I came here, and Kyle beat me by an inch. And I led a lot of that race, and that race was kind of the race that, for me, something clicked about Talladega. I learned some things in that race, and from that point forward, I've always showed up to Daytona and Talladega with the mindset that this is going to be fun. A lot of people show up here and they're frustrated that they're racing with restrictor plates. They're frustrated that we're pack racing, and they come here with the wrong attitude, in my opinion. But I show up to these tracks anxious but excited and feeling like I've got an opportunity. And, you know, I think when you look at my career, I've won an Xfinity race at Daytona. I've won an Xfinity race here at Talladega. I won my first cup race at Daytona, and now I've won my second cup race at Talladega. Now I want to start – I'd like to win at some of these other tracks so that way people don't just say, oh, well, he's just a good restrictor plate racer. But today was sweet to go to victory lane in such a clutch moment in the playoffs, down 10 points coming into this weekend, and knowing that this was an opportunity race for us. Winning here today was really special, and like I said, I can count on my, you know, on my hand 5 or 6 races that I feel like we maybe should have won this year, and it didn't work out and didn't happen, and today the good Lord was shining down on us, and we were able to go to victory lane. So this is a special day.
We're gonna go to Matt up to the press box, and then to Michael.
Matt Weaver, Auto Week. Now that you've checked a race win off the box this season with SHR, are you pretty much where you thought you and the team would be, you know, signing with Stuart Haas and going through a full season?
Honestly, I feel like we're exceeding expectations. I feel like we're exceeding, you know, your expectations, the media. I feel like we're exceeding probably even Tony Stewart and Gene Haas's expectations. You know, I went into this year feeling like, if we can just run top 15 and be consistent and not make any mistakes all year long, we could maybe make the playoffs. And that was a goal for us. And then, you know, I've got a new team. I'm new to the organization. My crew chief, Johnny's first year being a crew chief. We've got a lot of young guys on our team. And I really feel like we're built to grow. And as the year has progressed, I feel like we just continue to get better and better and better. And I feel like we haven't even reached max potential. I feel like there's so much more room to grow for us and to get better. And that's what's so exciting for me to see that we're not at the ceiling yet. We're still young and new in this whole you know, team. And so I feel like we're way ahead of our expectations. But I knew that I was going to be given this opportunity to have fast race cars. And I knew that if we did the things that we needed to do, and if that, you know, we brought cars capable of running up front, and if I pulled my weight, that we would have opportunities to win. And that's been one of the most frustrating things for me, is to watch all my teammates win races, and for me to get close so many times and not win. I feel like I was letting our team down and our organization down because they kept giving me fast race cars week after week after week, and we weren't able to win. So today is gratifying, and today I feel like I finally gave Stuart Haas Racing and all the guys on the Smithfield team what they deserve.
So not only did you make the playoffs and make that goal, but now you're in the round of eight. So what more do you want to see out of yourself, your team, to not only make it to Homestead, but also have a shot if you can make it to Homestead?
Yeah, I honestly think we are somewhat of a dangerous team just because we've been flying under the radar all year long, you know, and even going into the playoffs, I feel like we've been flying under the radar. We went to Vegas and you know, had a great day at Vegas and you know, ran up front, got some damage, fought back from that and finished good. Went to Richmond, and where a place where we knew we had to run good to put ourselves in position to go to the Roval and make it to the next round, and we did exactly that. We qualified up front. We ran, you know, second and third in the stages, finished the race third or fourth. I don't even remember where we finished, but put us in position to go to the Roval and be somewhat conservative. And then all hell broke loose at the end of the race, and next thing I knew, I was 6 points out, and we were able to get into this round. And then coming into this round, I felt like the tracks lined up really well for me. I love Dover. I absolutely love going to that place. It's one of my favorite racetracks. I enjoy and like coming to Talladega. I feel like it's an opportunity for me to go win. And I really enjoy Kansas, even though I broke my back there. I remember in 2012 showing up there in October and dominating the beginning part of that race until I blew a right front. And that was the first time in my career in the Cup Series at Kansas that I had led any really laps to speak of and to be running up front. And so from that point forward, I've always enjoyed Kansas and been excited about going to that racetrack since that day. So I look forward to all the rest of these racetracks. I feel like they kind of suit well for me and my race team.
We're going to go up to the press box.
Lee Spencer, RacingVoice.com. Congratulations. I wanted to know, first of all, what was going through your mind when you saw Kurt having to punt and pull out?
Yeah, so going down the back straightaway, I saw the 17 break free from the pack, and I kind of backed up to him a little bit, hoping that when he got to me that he would be able to give me a push. And when I backed up to him, as he got closer, my RPMs just started going way up, and I started coming with a huge run to Kurt. And I felt like Kurt was a little bit of a sitting duck at that point anyway. I don't know that I would have beat Kurt, but it would have been exciting. We'll just say that. But when I got to his right rear quarter panel and pulled up next to him, I heard his motor just start to sputter. And then I knew I drove past him, and my spotter told me that he was running out. And at that point, it was just all eyes on my mirror and making sure that I blocked any runs that were coming to try and be the first car across the finish line.
And secondly, Kyle Busch said that this race had a feeling like none other he had ever seen at Talladega. And throughout the course of the race, we would see like three major size packs. It just wasn't one, you know, big pack or, you know, two packs. It was like, you know, different groups around the track. What do you think it was that caused that? What was the handling like inside the race car? Thank you.
Well, yeah, the cars are going so fast. We're going so fast, and you know, the cars are a handful. You know, when you get in the pack and you're running 205 mile an hour, the cars are light on their feet. They're dancing around. They are a handful, and so you just, as you get single file, it's the shortest way around the track on the bottom, and we're going so fast that the bottom lane just prevails. And we saw that even in the spring race. You look back at the spring race, and the bottom lane was the dominant lane just because, you know, and it broke up, the pack broke up the same in the spring race. But in the spring race, the everybody wasn't as organized as far as the teams, and our team, and you know, specifically wasn't. It was kind of a free for all, and you know, Kevin had some issues handling wise. Kurt ran up front and then had some pit road issues. We had issues in qualifying, so we had to start last. Clint rode around to play it safe. So there was a lot of differences in varying strategy when we were here in the spring. And this time we came and brought four amazing race cars. And as an organization, we were just so committed to each other about running up front, staying up front, scoring as many points as we can, and staying committed to the bottom lane and to each other. And I feel like that strategy, honestly, was what obviously won us the race. I think our cars were so fast that as long as we stayed single file and all four of us lined up, nobody could get that outside lane working to go up there and challenge us. A couple of times on restarts, some guys got close and tried to make runs at it, but we just kept staying committed and working together, and everybody else couldn't do that. Everybody else was racing for position, and they would get two and three wide and stall their runs, and then we would be able to drive away.
Mike Massey with frontstretch.com. Congrats on the win. I got two questions for you. First off, I noticed Tony Stewart was talking to you for a long time before the race. What was he saying to you? Anything that applied to today's win?
Yeah, he every time I've seen him lately, he just keeps telling me, "Goose Fraba." He keeps telling me just to calm down, take deep breaths. He's like, "You're going to win." He's like, "I promise you." He's like, "When the day I told you I was going to hire you, I knew you were going to win races for my company." He said, "It's going to happen. You just have to keep putting yourself in position. And you keep putting yourself in position, and I promise you it will happen." And he kept telling Johnny the same thing. He was telling Johnny, like, "Just keep doing what you're doing. Don't doubt yourself. Don't second-guess yourself. Keep putting yourself in position, and it will happen."
Okay, and the second question, you talked about Kansas a little bit already, but obviously that was, you know, the lowest point of your career was there last year, and then now you've just experienced the highest point of your career, you know, winning to move into the round of eight. So just how sweet has that redemptive story been, and how much more does that fuel you to win next week?
It does. I'm fired up about going to Kansas next week. It's gonna be fun. We're gonna go there with no pressure at all, and one thing on our mind, and that's to go win, and to try and get, you know, some stage points and bonus points and get ready for that round of eight. And so for us, I think. That's our mindset, and that's a really fun mindset that I have never experienced in my entire career. I've always went to the racetrack every single weekend, you know, anxious and focused and concentrated and nervous about what if, and I hope we run good, and I hope we have a shot to win. And this weekend at Kansas, for us, nothing really else matters other than going there to win.
We're going to go to Kelly and Jerry on the far left side, and then to Dustin.
Kelly Crandall, race.com. So, Eric, you finally get over the hump with the win, and you transfer to the round of eight. Is there a way to prioritize what feels sweeter at this point?
The win. You know, the playoffs, that's pretty sweet, too. But just going to victory lane, man, to win for Smithfield, you know, taking a chance on supporting me and this organization at Stewart Haas Racing, to win for Tony Stewart and Gene Haas, you know, to believe in me and give me this opportunity, and for everybody that's helped me along the way in my career, to be in this situation, and to, you know, to last year think about potentially my career ending and never knowing if I was good or not. You know, I feel like I always had equipment as an excuse. And when I showed up to Stewart Haas Racing, that was no longer the case. I did not have that as an excuse. I've got the best team in the garage. And so for me, it was up to me. It was time to go do my job and see if I'm good enough. And so coming so close so many times this year, it's made me think and long and hard about, you know, myself and am I good enough, and why do I keep losing when I've been in position and had opportunities to win. And I've been hard on myself, and so to win, that was the most gratifying part. The playoffs and transferring to the round of eight, that's secondary. Just going to victory lane and getting that gratification and giving what I feel like my team deserves. They bring incredible race cars to the track every single weekend, and they deserved a win. And all of my teammates have won, except me. So today was our day.
Having said that, you just talked about, you know, the equipment and not having an excuse, wanting to find out if it was you or whatnot. So when you come into this year, were you embracing that challenge, or were you kind of, were there doubts as well?
No, I came into it embracing it. Like I knew, the best thing, I talked about it with my wife before the year even started. You know, I knew that going into this year, no matter what happened, for the rest of my life, I'll be able to lay my head down on the pillow at night and know that I had the best race cars, the best opportunity, and I either got the job done or I didn't. And so far this year, I feel like I've been close to getting the job done. And I feel like we continue to get better and better as a team. I continue to get better and better as a race car driver. I put a tremendous amount of work and effort into being the best that I can be. And to see it come to fruition is pretty gratifying.
I'm going to go to Jerry, Dustin, and then Jim.
Jerry Jordan, KickingTheTires.net, PRN. 7 days ago, I stood next and talked to you on pit road, that emotional roller coaster. You said you were over with it by Tuesday.
Yeah.
But when you're on the last lap there and you're looking at Kurt, were you wondering and if something else could go, or if you were going to run out of fuel or anything like that? What was that like going to, you know, taking that checkered flag after last week?
Yeah, I knew going into the restart. Well, first, to answer your question about last week, I really was over it by Tuesday. I was bummed out about it Sunday night pretty bad. Johnny came over to my house after the race, and we sat in our basement and had a few beers together and just talked and said, hey, we just got to keep doing what we're doing. Like, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But we're going to keep putting ourselves in position, and they're going to know we're there. And so that was good, and that was good for us to kind of, you know, have that moment, and kind of sulk and pout together. And then when Monday came, it was over. It was time to go to work and get ready for the next race, get ready for Talladega. And Tuesday morning, I got to the shop bright and early, and all of our focus and attention was on Talladega. I had forgot about Dover. I didn't care about Dover anymore. I couldn't go back. I couldn't change it. I couldn't fix it. It was time to go to Talladega and do what we needed to do to, honestly, I was hoping to win, but my main focus was to come here and score as many points as we possibly could to go to Kansas and give ourselves a fighting chance.
We're going to go to Dustin and then Jim.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Eric, with how you've run, particularly lately, and being so close getting the win, how has that, I don't know if the word is prove, shown, reaffirmed to you being a championship contender as opposed to just somebody else? And what does that mean to be able to show that to your team? Well, your guys, I'm sure, believe in you.
Yeah.
When you have close call after close call and don't finish it off, what does this run, what does today mean for you personally,
yeah,
and for the team in that sense?
So on that note, I'll go back to Sunday night and Johnny and I in my basement talking and stuff, and I said that very thing. Like I told Johnny, I was like, the thing that hurts the most is that we keep getting close and being in position and Loudon, you know, having what I felt like was the dominant car. And yeah, we lost a couple spots on pit road, but still it was up to me to get a good restart and give ourselves a chance to go win, and I didn't. And then Dover have the, you know, after Harvick has his tire issues, we're the next best car, and we're dominating the race, coming to, you know, less than 10 to go. Looks like we're going to win the race. Next thing you know, we're lined up six, and I've still got the opportunity to put ourselves in position to win, and I went for it. And I, after Loudon, I was so gung-ho going into that restart at Dover, saying I am not going to lose this race. And I got over-aggressive and made a mistake off of two, and the car bottomed out, and I hit the fence and then came down and hit Brad. And that that was so disappointing because I felt like it was on me again. You know, we had the best car. I was in not the best of position. Starting sixth with just a few laps to go is not the best position. I would have loved to have been on the front row, but Johnny made the call for four tires to put me on offense to go be aggressive, and that's exactly what I went and did, and it didn't work. And so we had that conversation in my basement about, man, I'm sorry. You guys are giving me incredible race cars, and I don't want you to give up on me. I don't want you to doubt. Like, you know, I need that from you guys. I need – and him and every single person on my crew has done nothing but re-emphasize that they believe in me. They know that we're going to win together, and to just keep putting ourselves in those positions. And for that today, like – What a relief to see all those guys in victory lane and give each and every one of them a hug, and to say we finally did it. That was pretty special.
Let me ask you this real quickly. Obviously, I know it helped that what happened to Kurt, but in that sense, what do you feel like you did right today, as compared to what didn't go right at Loudon, what didn't go right at Dover? What did you do right in putting yourself that happened, or was this, is this more circumstances and you still have to be able to prove to yourself in those other situations that it when it's on your shoulders, you can handle it?
Yeah, I think today was circumstantial. You know, you look at past results at Daytona and Talladega, and you look at green, white checkers. Usually the winner is going to come from the first two rows. I mean, that's pretty much a given. Everything behind that is chaos, and you don't know what to expect. But the winner typically comes from the first row, maybe the second row. So I knew going into that restart today that we had a shot. It was going to be tough. I knew my teammates were really, really fast, and I was going to have to beat them, and I didn't know how I was going to do it. And I didn't know if I would do it. And today, circumstances just played out and went our way. You know, there's been so many times that it hasn't gone our way. You know, I think back to Chicago. There, I felt like we definitely had the dominant car. I raced Harvick heads up, and we outran them. And we had loose wheels and ended up going two laps down. And that one, you know, got away from us. Circumstances. Loudon, you can blame it on circumstances. You know, you go to Dover, you can blame it on circumstances. But today, circumstances were, you know, went our way, and things worked out. So, you know, the only thing I can attest it to is that God just kept telling me to be patient.
We'll go to Jim.
Jim Mutter, motorsport.com. Sort of along the same lines, you talked about the enormous opportunity you had to go to Stuart Haas Racing, but can you talk a little bit about being part of an organization this season that has all four cars have won races, one guy has won seven, all four have a very plausible chance to continue advancing in the playoffs and maybe make up the championship four, and the four of you guys together basically dictated the flow of a restrictor plate race today. I mean, I know you knew you were going into a great situation, but is there a situation in this sport better than this team right now?
No, absolutely not. There's no better team in the garage area than our race team. I would put our race team up against any team in the garage, hands down. Just, I've been around the sport for a long time, and I've been able to see inside of different organizations. I was with Gibbs early on in my career. I've had the opportunity to work with Hendrick Motorsports when I drove for Dale Jr. in the Xfinity Series, and I did the baby watch stuff for Jimmy and got, you know, full access and was in their shop, in the 88 shop, all the time, sitting in their hauler, go through their debriefs, all of the above, got full access to that. When I was first with Petty's, had an alliance with Roush, and seen the way they operated and worked. And so I've been around a lot of different organizations and some of the best. I've never, ever seen an organization with so many people pulling the rope in the same direction as Stuart Haas Racing. I mean, all four crew chiefs are bought in. I mean, it is completely open notebook. you know, the teams, the employees, like everybody. Everybody wins. When our cars win, everybody gets a bonus, right? When Stuart Haas Racing, which we've done a lot of, and our employees are making bank this year on the bonus program. So I've been so amazed. That's one of the things that I think has probably been the most eye-opening for me. I've been around the garage a lot, and people are kind of open notebook, but you know that you're still going to have to race that guy and that teammate. And so you give 90%, but 10% you keep for you and your team. And from everything that I've witnessed, that doesn't happen at Stuart Haas Racing. We take and build the four best race cars we can. Everybody's bought in, and then the four of us go race it out and see, may the best man win. And I think that is what makes our organization so incredible.
Anything final for our race winner? All right.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Eric. Have fun next week.
Thank you.